Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. It is finals week, so why not treat yourself to 8 craft beers to help you cheer on Glasgow this weekend? This month, our friends at Beer 52 have teamed up with some of the UK's top restaurants to deliver the perfect beers to go with whatever you are eating when you're watching the match. So whether you're having pizza, Indian, or even Peruvian food, they have the beer for you. Get yourself on to beer52.com/thistle, and you'll be able to get yourself 8 craft beers delivered straight to your door, a snack, and a copy of Ferment magazine. That's beer52.com/thistle. All you have to do is pay £5.95 for postage and packaging, and you'll get 8 craft beers delivered straight to your door. That's beer52.com/thistle. Come on, Glasgow. All right, welcome back. It is finals week. Matt and Alan, how are you, boys?
Good, mate. Big time at the weekend. It was nice to get the win and, yeah, roll on Celtic Park.
Celtic Park, yeah. Is that what you're doing?
I'm just kind of softening the sea.
A little gag.
Yeah, it was.
Decent start. Alan, how are you?
not as funny as this guy. Yeah, good. Good start to the week. Sad we can't watch, or at least watch live.
I know.
The Glasgow game.
We haven't quite worked that out yet, have we?
I think we're going to be like mid-receptions, or not dinner.
Well, that's okay then. 6:30 kickoff.
I was told by my other half that it was completely unacceptable for me to go off and watch.
To huddle around a phone in a wedding reception.
Well, you know what? She's actually the plus one to this wedding, so she can pipe down.
Ooh. You're a groomsman. You're like deputy best man, aren't you?
Which makes it worse that I would go away and watch a rugby match on my phone.
Yeah.
Possibly.
But you know what? I don't even really like the groom, so...
And he does not listen, so that's fine.
He doesn't really listen, so thanks very much.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for joining us, guys. As ever, iTunes, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's been a busy old week over on Twitter, as ever, at Thistle Rugby Pod. I think it's been quiet on Instagram. I certainly haven't done anything. Thistle_rugby_pod. The mailbag, not much in there either. That is thistlerugby@gmail.com. We love to hear from you, particularly in finals week. Get in touch and let us know your thoughts. We're going to kick off with some news, and then we've had a really good chat with Scott Cummings, Glasgow second row, with a bit of an insight into what's going on in camp this week as they build up to the big game against Leinster at the weekend. We're then going to preview that game. Then Matt's got a quiz this week. Alan's been too busy to put his usual rigor towards a quiz. So Matt, can you give us a bit of insight into that?
Yeah, I've not been that busy today. So it is a Glasgow finals themed quiz with definitely quite a few mistakes in it. So
that sounds all right.
Glad to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, there's a fine line between busy and lazy. But thanks for doing the quiz today.
Yeah, and I perfectly blurred that line. So.
Well, why don't we crack on with a little bit of news. Couple of retirements this week. Murray Lowe has been forced to retire down at Exeter Chiefs. Any thoughts on that, lads?
It's a pretty good career.
Yeah, I mean, I think
you'd think that maybe after Glasgow, that was sort of he wasn't going to get that much game time at Exeter, but he seems to be a pretty like well valued member of the squad there, and yeah, he's done pretty well. Premiership champion.
I have to admit, I always kind of forget that he's there.
He doesn't play that often, to be fair.
Yeah.
And even in like the doldrums of our sort of like prop crises, which have happened sort of repeatedly for Scotland over the last 3 years, Murray Lowe's never really been brought back in the same way that like Gordy Reid has, for example.
Is he a tight head?
I've got no idea.
So number three, isn't he?
That's tight head.
Yeah. So I think our crises have been more at loose head.
Yes.
So I think actually at tight head we've been okay because we've sort of had one of Nell, Bergen or Fagerson fit.
Yeah.
So
I think Bergen's a loose head.
No, Bergen's three.
Is he?
Yep.
Cool. Well, another great start for us on props.
I think he sadly just missed out on Glasgow winning the title. I think he left the year before.
Oh, did he actually?
Yeah.
Oh, a shame.
Are you just amending your quiz there?
No, I'm not. I was just checking things.
That's for another prop and friend of the pod. Kyle Traynor has retired this week. He's had a pretty eclectic career as well.
The Pain Train.
The Pain Train, as nobody's calling him.
I think we called him the Pain.
That's specifically what we called
him. The Pain Train.
Not his face.
None of our nicknames really stick, do they? Apart from the Sweet Prince for Christine.
Yeah.
And the Pudding.
And the Pudding. There's still debate around
did
the Pudding.
Did we make up the Pudding? I don't know if we did.
Yes, we made up the Pudding.
Because you made it up because it was sort of... It was a misname.
His nickname was Spud. And then I got it incorrect and called him the Pudding.
And then we just stuck with it.
Quite
a lot of people call him Meatball.
I don't think he's ever called Spud.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think you made that up too. No. Jim Hamilton today on the Rugby Pod called him Microphone Head, which I thought was quite good.
Microphone Head is quite accurate, I suppose, for Donkey Weir.
Kyle Traynor, what? Because obviously, long career at Edinburgh and then Bristol, Tigers at the end. Got the four caps.
And then Gloucester.
And Gloucester as well.
And Gloucester as well.
Played four times Gloucester, 15 for Leicester and 97 for Bristol.
There you go. Speaking
that was under Andy Robinson.
Of Bristol. We've seen that guy, Nick Haining, who Edinburgh signed for next year, has actually been starting quite a lot at eight towards the tail end of the season. So maybe got actually quite a decent signing on their hands.
I'd kind of forgotten all about him, but yeah.
Same.
That's great. They've got a couple of Bristolian lads in the age grades as well. Definitely one scrum half at under 20s, I think.
The standoff at under 20s. I was going to say his name's Neville Chamberlain, but something Chamberlain.
Could be Neville Chamberlain.
Yeah, I mean, why would you name your kid after Neville Chamberlain? But yeah, sure.
But all the best in your retirements, Murray and Kyle. The money continues to flow at Old Annie's Land. Oh my God. So this week, Jack Cuthbert, currently on a Scotland Sevens contract, has signed up as another player coach.
So we established it in the original Super Six document. It said that clubs underneath the Super Six were not allowed to pay player coaches.
That's what I thought, but then you look back at it and it's sort of like a blanket statement that you could interpret it and say, oh no, we were only talking about the Super Six.
Yeah.
Or they're just going to say, oh no, we rewrote that part.
Peter Wright has just driven a train through that grey area. He's just like, right, we're getting them all in.
I mean, you know, I wouldn't be fussed if they were just coaches and I'd be like, yeah, they're young. Could be talented coaches. Players learn a lot. But like, imagine lining up, you know, you're making your debut for, West of Scotland. And I don't even think they're in the same league, but you're lining up against Jack Cuthbert. And, you know, debutants, if you're 17 or 18, there's a high chance you're going to be playing on the wing. In terms of age.
I think I could date Jack Cuthbert.
Oh, literally, you're pathetic. You wouldn't be able to get anywhere near him. He's literally so big still, and he'd just run over you. Or you're like a young hooker straight out of school. You know, you finally get to pull on that old school jersey, and you're marking Kevin Bryce. Like, you actually could get seriously hurt.
I'm not saying
I can tackle
Kevin Bryce.
Yeah. No. Well, I'm saying
I think we covered that last week. We don't think you could tackle Kevin Bryce.
JHK just got some sort of silent rich backer, Michelle Moan, getting in.
Yeah, maybe that's who it is.
Could be.
And they've also brought in, is it Matthew Hamilton? He's a strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's That one to me is bizarre. Like, why does a strength and conditioning coach from Glasgow Warriors need the experience of working at GHK?
Money.
I just find that hard to believe. Like,
are GHK having like gym sessions?
Yeah. Most clubs do these days. One or two a week.
There you go.
Or like an extra fitness session. I just think overall it just, if it is like a grey area they're exploiting, then it, to me, it doesn't really seem in the spirit of the game. Particularly when they're at that level. And these aren't guys who have a connection to GHK. I would kind of get it. I'd have a bit more sympathy with someone who'd like, you know, come up through the youth systems. If Kevin Bryce had gone back to Stirling, or like a lot of them come from Alloa and Hillfoots.
Yeah.
I'd have a bit more sympathy. But I just think it kind of doesn't seem right to me.
They are engaging in good faith with us on Twitter, though. They're quite enjoying the banter that we're throwing at them. So
yeah, but they're not really engaging in like the underlying issues. They're just like, ha-ha.
Yeah, you wouldn't know, would they?
And I don't think we're really that bothered about engaging in the underlying issues, especially on Twitter anyway.
No.
Oh, I am. That's why I've been throwing out this shade.
You've been throwing out a few rods this week.
Yeah, I'm quite enjoying it. Yeah.
We've been quite enjoying it.
I can always tell which one's yours.
Just rocking the boat, you know? Gotta do it sometimes.
More movements in Scottish Colorado. Ryan Grant, Scotland and British and Irish Lions prop, is the new forwards coach at Glasgow Accies.
Yeah, fair enough. At least that's not a guy who's going to be playing against, like, you know.
He's just a coach.
Bin men. Like, yes, I think so.
Yeah, too much. He's got the gin. Doesn't need to play in as well. He ain't Rui Jackson, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Jack, but they might register him as like, because he's front row as well. What if they have a prop crisis like clubs in lower leagues tend to do? Like, don't worry, we got Granty.
I don't know, man.
It's very interesting. It just seems as if every couple of days, kind of a former Glasgow player, a current Glasgow player, get some sort of gig.
At the start of May, Glasgow Hawks were like being like, we're going to release a player almost every day of May. And it kind of felt like they were the team that were going to potentially rock the boat. And then GHK and Glasgow Accies and all these other sort of lower league Glasgow teams have just sort of come up from the rear.
Yeah. I think Hawks have stopped it.
Well, GHK are looking for a rugby development officer as well. They've just put up another advert on their Twitter now.
What's going on, man?
Peter Wright, don't give a shit.
There's the thing. Johnny Petrie's going to like resign from Ulster. He's going to come to GHK. He's like, right, lads. That's when we'll know.
There you go.
That's when we'll know. Other bits and pieces of news. Old Glory, their first official game, went down last week to, I think, Shannon RFC.
Yep.
Old Glory lost it. Sounded like a thriller. Shout out to the guy who's doing Old Glory's Twitter, by the way, though. It's, if people aren't following their live
Read us out a favorite.
What are my favorites? They describe themselves as the OGs, which kind of makes sense. The Old Glories.
I like that, the OGs. And the opposition is the bad guys.
This was the opposition are always called the bad guys, which are quite like this guy's personality. This one's 78 minute, when obviously it was 26-22 to Shannon. And
it's a tight game.
And Old Glory were going in. 78 minute, O balls with a Z. OGs drop the egg on the floor. Bad guys with a chance to escape their end, but it's not that easy as Captain Marvelous Josh Brown lays the boom.
Lays the boom.
So
that's
good.
That's a new one. I haven't heard
like that. I really hope it's done without any irony.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, squeaky bum time for the OGs. This is the sort of thing that you get. It's so good.
Under 20's got to be pumping them.
Surely.
You would expect so.
So next week.
It's coming up this week. It is the 27th, Monday the 27th, which is Memorial Day in America, by the way. It says here.
It's also my mum's birthday.
Is it?
Turning 70, the old gal.
Did you get her tickets?
No, I haven't even got her a present yet.
Well, we're going to keep an eye on that. Scotland Under-20s against Old Glory is on Monday next week, so we will be firmly on Old Glory watch then. Right, that is all the news. Not a huge amount going on in a week that is quite rightly dominated by Glasgow's preparations for the final of the Pro 14. And to help us kick off our preview of that episode, we spoke earlier on to Scott Cummings. Here he is. All right, so delighted to be joined on the line by Glasgow's second row, Scott Cummings. Scott, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, really excited for the weekend. So, you know, it's building up quite nicely. So, yeah, really excited. I bet. So talk us a little bit through the sort of feeling in camp at the moment. Is there any changes to your preparations this week?
Not really, to be honest. We've been sort of trying to keep everything the exact same. You know, we've been thinking if it's not broken, there's no need to fix it. So we're pretty happy. You know, we've sort of, throughout the year, we've sort of chopped and changed things to get to the stage we are now, and we're quite happy with everything. So we're trying to keep everything the exact same, to be honest.
Class. And well, obviously everyone who's listening to this pod, I imagine, will have been watching the game on Friday night, but what was it like to play in what I think a lot of people are calling the best ever Glasgow Warriors performance?
It was a great game. Obviously Ulster are sort of a great team, and we knew they were going to come over, and if we didn't sort of impose our game plan, you know, it would have been a really tight game, and that Ulster are such a good team, and they've got, you know, such a strong pack and a good back line, so we knew that going into the game we had to sort of impose our game and get that early lead, which we were sort of happy that we got. And it was obviously a great performance, and all the guys were really happy, but looking back at it, there were still some things that we felt we could have done better. So as much as there was a lot of good, we were sort of clinical in a lot of areas, there's some other areas that we still feel we can be better in.
And obviously you guys made a really good start to the match. Was that a pre-planned move with yourself giving the ball back into Carl Steyn? Was that an area you guys had targeted?
Oh, we've obviously got sort of areas we target, and you know, they sort of rushed out me so I could give it inside on him, you know, because obviously teams are excited, but everyone's sort of rushing up at the start of the game. So, you know, it was a great sort of great line by Kyle, and then we got a good bust through. So, you know, it was a sort of perfect way to start the game, and, you know, put us on that front foot, and, you know, sort of set the tone for us in attack, especially in the game. So we're all happy with how we sort of started that first sort of 3 minutes anyway.
And a lot's been made about the strides that particularly the Glasgow pack have made in the last few months, perhaps maybe off the back of that the loss down at Saracens in the quarter final, and that sort of added physicality. What have you as a unit been sort of working on to sort of make that step up?
Yeah, we're all quite embarrassed by that sort of last performance against Saracens. In a lot of ways, we didn't step up. You know, we scored quite a good number of points that day, but when you're conceding sort of over 50 points, there's no chance you're going to win a game. So we knew that defensively we had to step up. We've had a massive focus in the past couple of weeks, sort of especially in the forwards, about our defence, just getting that bit of width and sort of being a bit more physical. And then when it's come to our scrum, we've had sort of Petrus Parra, he's been sort of taking over as scrum coaches now, and, you know, giving in a lot of his input and his experience, and we've definitely taken a lot of strides in those areas, and we've just sort of decided as a pack that we want to be the dominant ones. We don't want the back scoring all the tries, we need to do it as well.
And what's being said in advance of this weekend? Obviously it's going to be a really special occasion at Celtic Park, but, you know, how do you guys sort of get up for that occasion and make sure that it doesn't, you know, almost get to you in a sense?
Oh, it's probably the easiest game to get up for, to be honest. We're all really excited. We sort of set a marker at the start of the year that, you know, that's sort of we wanted to have a home semi-final, which would give us that opportunity to play at home at Celtic Park in a home for a home crowd. Our friends and families will be coming, and, you know, we'll have all our amazing supporters coming, and, you know, we hear how loud Scotland is with 10,000. You can imagine it'll be absolutely amazing if we have sort of 40,000 there. So, no, we're really excited for the weekend, and one of the things we've been talking about is just not changing, because the reason we got here is the style that we play, and if we get nervous and stop trying to play the Glasgow way, then we won't win. So we need to make sure that we play our way and not get brought up in the big occasion.
Absolutely, and I suppose looking beyond Saturday, if you'll indulge us for a little bit, obviously World Cup squad's been announced. You weren't in that initial batch of names, but an awful lot being made of potential for another second row to join up. So how much is that in the back of your mind when you're sort of looking to put in a massive performance this weekend?
Oh, yeah, it's always something that you can't think about, but to be honest, for me, you know, there's no bigger motivation you need than it being the final, to be honest. So I try not to think about that. I just want to go out there and play the best I can in that Glasgow jersey, and if anything comes from the back of that, you know, that's great. But, you know, we've been working all year. It's been about sort of 11-12 months since we started, and we're really excited to get back out there this weekend, sort of show everything we've done, and, you know, all the hard work over the year have sort of all come down to one day. So we're really excited about that, and really excited with the opportunity to play in Glasgow. You know, we've never had a home sort of final here, so it'd be amazing.
Definitely, and you know, obviously, looking ahead, what have you guys been speaking about in regards to Leinster? Obviously, a team that's got a lot of pedigree, but I take it you have found some sort of weaknesses you're looking to target.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we know that Leinster are one of the best teams out there. They didn't get to the final of the Champions Cup for no reason. So, they're going to be really good. We know what they're going to bring. They're going to hold the ball for a lot of phases. We know when we were over there, we had to make over 300 tackles last game. So, we know that we're going to have to put in, especially defensively, a massive performance. And then for us, because they're going to hold the ball a lot, whenever we get the ball, we have to be clinical. So, it's not so much weaknesses, it's more make sure when we have the ball, we do the right stuff with it.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, it's great news to see that Dave Rennie signed on for another year, extending his time at Glasgow. You know, what have you made of his coaching, and how big an influence has he had on you as a player and just, you know, the squad as a whole?
Yeah, it's been great. Obviously, we had Gregor, who was a great coach at Glasgow before moving to Scotland, and then when Dave's come in, he's not changed too much. He's obviously we still play that sort of wide, expansive style of rugby. We like to move the ball, but I think he's, for me personally, I think he's probably changed sort of some of the aggression and things like that in me. So, like, for example, in pre-season we had, like, we called it Fight Club, but it was basically just sort of like a wrestling club where it was just to get that sort of physicality up in a lot of the players. And we can definitely see, especially in the pack in the sort of past 2 months, sort of shown, you know, that we've definitely got that sort of physicality in us. And we're now, I think the squad's really sort of unified in the sense of that we all know exactly every single role we need to do. So that sort of leaves us up to just all we need to be now is physical and work hard. So when you sort of take away all those sort of role clarity stuff that we now all know really well, it's just up to us going out there and performing now. So when you take that sort of thought, those sort of thoughts out of the back of your mind and just focus on the moment and applying your role correctly, that I think we're at the stage that we're all sort of really excited for that. And Dave always says that, you know, if we think something's on, just go for it. Don't be too scared if something goes wrong, or if you go one way and it wasn't the right decision, you know, just as long as you back yourself. So it's given a lot of players a lot of belief in just like in their skills and allowed them to express themselves.
That wrestling club sounds absolutely awful. Who do you want to sort of avoid most in the ring when it came to one of the little sessions?
Yeah, it wasn't great fun. Ollie Keble wasn't the best to fight. Obviously quite a large guy, so there was a lot of us, but obviously we were all in there to sort of up our aggression, if you know what I mean. So it definitely helped us a lot though.
That's awesome, Scott. We'll let you get back to your preparation, but we'll just finish off on one question that we ask everyone that comes on the pod, and that's who the worst roommate you've ever had sort of during your time, sort of Scotland or Glasgow. Who's the worst person that you've had to share a room with?
That's a tough one. I was almost with Siwa Halanukunuk, and he's a loud snorer. Thankfully, I managed to get rid of that. there's not too many bad guys. Thankfully, we actually get to sort of not pick our rooms, but we end up with the same sort of rooms most of the time, so you sort of get used to how people are. So now most of the boys are quite good.
Well, good. Well, we'll add the nuke to our list of snorers then. Well, mate, all the best. Let's bring home some silverware at the weekend.
Yeah, hopefully. Cheers.
So we can add the nuke to people that snore quite a lot.
I'm just more worried about that wrestling match.
Yeah, wrestling camp sounds intense,
doesn't
it?
There was a video that the Warriors put up a few seasons ago of like their pre-season kind of montage, and it has one of them in like a judo gym, and they're just basically running straight at each other and like, I don't know, practicing how they fall in a tackle, and it is absolutely, they're on crash mats, but it is absolutely savage.
So change it. We always play the game of who you could tackle.
Yeah.
Who do you think you could beat in a wrestling match?
Not a single Glasgow Warriors player.
You don't think you're taking George Horn? Like a tight wrestling match?
He would be so much more willing to win than any of us.
I think that's where
he would like maybe bite you.
That is true, to be fair.
Yeah. Physically, yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
Paddy Kelly?
He's quite a big
maybe
lad.
Maybe not Paddy Kelly.
Maybe I could get them in tight grappling, like submission move. I don't want to be on my feet. Yeah. I need to be on the floor.
Brandon Thompson, is he a good athlete?
Yeah. Rui Jackson's
possibly, he's obviously a good athlete, but
just don't think of him as that strong.
Yeah,
I'd be at my most confident facing Rui Jackson, I think.
Yeah, least confident against. I mean, Ollie Kebble would be terrible, as Scott said.
The nuke, that would be terrifying.
I actually think Fraser Brown.
Yeah, Fraser Brown would be the worst.
I think he might murder me.
I think with a nuke, you just got to keep him moving, tire him out, then jump on his back and just like sleeper hold him.
I wouldn't want Batty. I think that would be a horrible wrestle.
Oh, yeah. That'd be real horrible.
He's wrestled cows to their death in the abattoir.
I think Tim
That's
Swinson.
Why he was hired. They were like, it's no cattle prod for you.
Yeah, exactly.
He just choke out the cows.
So there we go, wrestling from Scott Cummings. So let's get into that preview.
I also just want to say how on message Scott Cummings was.
Oh, yeah, real politician.
Shout out to Jack Reed and his media training of that. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
just had the key bullet points on a piece of paper ready to go.
Really nicely delivered, actually. Well done, Scott.
Yeah.
We couldn't break you down. So preview, biggest Scottish club game since the last final?
I'd say no, actually, maybe not bigger. I guess the fact that this is in Glasgow adds a lot, but I think that was the first win.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think the fact that it's in Glasgow and they've already sold 40,000 tickets.
Yeah.
Which is massive. Considering that same day, Hamden's going to have 51,000 footballers.
Yeah, it's a Scottish Cup final, isn't it?
Scottish Cup final on the same day. Yeah. So...
oh.
Imagine if rugby final could sell as many, if not more, tickets in Glasgow.
Yeah.
That would be a massive statement for Scottish sport, not just Scottish rugby.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that I actually didn't think they would get over 40,000, to be honest with you.
I thought it would start to pick up when they got in that final. And they, I still think they should sell it out, but maybe I'm being a bit too optimistic.
I'm not sure they'll sell it. I think they'll sell 20,000 in like 4 days.
Yeah.
Possibly not.
That'd be so good though. Yeah, it's huge, and it'd just be great if they could win, and it sort of really does. I think Glasgow Warriors have been put far more on the map than they were in recent years. The fact that they can sell out Scotstoun, and like, you know, speaking to people in Glasgow, there's guys buying season tickets who haven't had any interest in rugby for their whole lives until the last few years. So if we can just, you know, make sure that would almost take it to a sellout every week.
I think relatively, you can look in like the last 7 or 8 years when like you look at Glasgow when they were at Fir Hill, bottom of the old Pro 12, like getting the same sort of crowds that Edinburgh get regularly now, like sort of 2,500, like 3,000 was a decent night at Fir Hill.
Yeah.
And now they're looking at bringing possibly 50,000 people to Celtic Park. That's incredible.
Interesting. I did actually see some stats recently looking at sort of average attendance by country. And it's really Ireland and Scotland that have had the growth in terms of right at the start, Scotland, as both Edinburgh and Glasgow were averaging like literally like 3,000, slightly less than the Italian teams.
Really?
And now it's just been them and Ireland be going up and up, and Ireland and Wales just completely flatlined.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, we talk about issues between sort of the pro game and the club game, but when you actually look at specifically Wales and Italy, I think in terms of how we've managed that transition, we're so far ahead of them.
Yeah.
Especially the fact that Wales have only managed to get one team into the... I know we're only getting one team, but the fact that...
they've got four.
Yeah, that seems like a big deal.
Ospreys just crept into the Champions Cup. And they... I mean, I know the Scarlets had that sort of run a couple of years ago, but it does feel that Scotland are sort of stepping ahead of them in that club scene.
Absolutely. Well, let's look. Glasgow versus Leinster. Glasgow absolutely blew Ulster away on Friday night. For you, we talked about it with Scott there. Matt, for you, is that the best you've seen Glasgow play?
Yeah, for quite a while, I think. You know, as we spoke about, it was making sure that they had that intensity. And you know that if they've got that in place, that their attack, both in the sort of the structures and just the, you know, the more off-the-cuff moments with those players that they have is enough to break down any teams. And, you know, just within that, like, first 10 minutes, there's absolutely blew Ulster off the park. And I think that, you know, from that point onwards, they kind of had the winning of the game. I was thinking about today what sort of would be, like, the best semi-final to prepare them for Saturday. And I actually think that Ulster game was quite good because I think they did know it was won, you know, fairly early on. And it wasn't as if it was, you know, they celebrated or reacted as if it was a final, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I think it was sort of a sense of, we played really well there, but it, you know, it was job done. Like, the final is the thing they're really, really aiming for. It's not sort of winning the final, not just getting there. So I think they're in almost as good a place as they possibly could be.
Absolutely. Alan, any thoughts?
Yeah, it feels like you're sort of over the course of this pod, probably given Rennie a little bit of a hard time. And you look, sort of taking Europe aside, sort of the year before he came in, you've got to remember Glasgow didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
In Toonies last
year. Yeah.
And then you've sort of gone semi-final when they were sort of the top team, final again. So obviously, you know, you are kind of going through that.
Mm-hmm.
You are improving each year.
Yeah.
Do you think Ulster were just a bit shit?
I don't think they played very well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it was, you know, it's a combination of maybe that first 10 minutes being completely blown away and then just not having a way to get back into the match.
Yes.
Because I don't think they quite had that.
Yeah. I think Glasgow's
quality across the board.
I think Glasgow's defence put them through an awful lot as well. When Ulster did have periods on the ball when they were building phases and stuff like that, more often than not, Glasgow's defence was forcing a mistake or a turnover or something like that. And I think whilst Ulster didn't maybe play to their best, I do think Glasgow didn't allow them to get any sort of foothold in the game.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose 3 months ago or something, if you'd said Glasgow got a home final against Ulster, the state Ulster were in, you'd be like, that's the best possible result.
Yes.
And they have got a lot better since then, but still, probably this season, it's not quite that, like, top vintage of an Ulster side.
Yeah. I think my concern, or maybe our concern before the match, was just in the pack. And, you know, Ulster have a lot of seasoned pros, pretty abrasive players in Katsia, Murphy, I thought Henderson.
Yeah, and he was awful.
Rory Best as well. And actually, when you look at the Glasgow pack, I think basically everyone sort of stood up. But it was actually some of the younger players, like both the Fergusons, Batty, Cummings. Fraser Brown's not that young, but he had a massive game. Mm. And actually, when you compare them to these players who are probably much more experienced, have much more international experience, I think they just sort of blew them off the park. I mean, I think the Fergusons, both together, just absolutely crushed it.
Yeah, unreal.
When Matt Ferguson just ripped the ball off Ian Henderson at that point, it was so good. I mean, he didn't look interested, but
when Matt Ferguson's at the top of his game, he looks like he can be something very, very special.
He is just such a good all-rounder. And I think that sometimes to his detriment slightly, that he's like not a kind of a Magnus Bradbury carrier, and he's maybe not got like the pure jack.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Clean skills of like a, you know, a Watson or a Barkley, but if he's at the top of his game, that all-round game is so important.
Agreed. Do you think Glasgow are going to be upset that they've let Batty go across the M8, seeing as how well he's been playing?
I don't possibly,
I feel like he's keeping Kevill at the team now.
Rennie said that. Rennie's been like, I don't care that he's going to Edinburgh, he's playing the best at the moment, so I'm picking him. Yeah, maybe it looks like a miss, but then he hasn't played that much like in the last year and a half, and it's sort of, you know, he's probably chucked in a bit out of necessity rather than choice, and then sort of like, oh, he is quite good.
Yeah, I mean, you've only seen that the flashes he's had for Scotland. Like, he has that quality, that performance when we put 50 past Australia, he came off the bench and he was absolutely incredible for half an hour.
Yeah,
he's got it in him.
Yeah,
but maybe it's just, he wasn't getting a lot of game time. He's been shifted to Edinburgh, and maybe something just clicked in his mind that he was like, actually, I need to prove a little bit of something here. Maybe it's the World Cup on the horizon. Maybe it's that he knows he's going down the road to Cockett. It's where he's not going to get, you know, the sort of soft soap, is he? So maybe it's just playing for a bit of his career and it's come back. I mean, he's a great in that sort of form. He's an unbelievable addition to an Edinburgh team that is not lacking quality front rows.
Well, yeah. Do you think that sort of Hugh Jones question we asked last week has been put to bed?
I'd like to ask it a different way. How good can Kyle Steyn be?
He was unbelievable right from the first minute when he made that break off our friend Scott Cummings' pass on the inside. He just runs hard straight lines and doesn't really miss tackles in defence.
Most metres gained in the match, most defenders beaten in the match.
Yeah.
An outside
just looks class, yeah.
You can't really ask for much more.
I mean, who would have thought at the start of the season that Johnson and Steyn would be your first choice centres in the Glasgow
first
team?
First choice, well, Scotland, like, starting?
Potentially,
yeah.
Scotland, which is pretty mad.
It's something, and we're talking about Scotland. The one email we did have this week from a regular listener, Archie Halkett, that's the thistlerugby@gmail.com. He says, can Kyle Steyn make the Scotland squad for the World Cup? I'd say that jersey is looking like his now.
Yeah. I mean, unless there is some Southern Hemisphere superstar.
did you see this guy?
He's the only logical choice.
The guy playing for the Queensland Reds last week. He's made his debut this season. Jock Campbell.
I did. How old is he?
He's like 19, 20.
He looked older than that.
I've been digging into him and I can't find anything that would say he's Scottish, but I mean, come on.
Jock Campbell, come on.
There's also a Hamish Stewart in that Reds team and a guy called Angus something that sounds really Scottish as well.
Angus McScotland. Anyway.
In the Mark Palmer article at the weekend. So I always just assume that the SOU, any professional rugby player, even below the Currie Cup, anyone who's semi-pro, they would know anyone
they got
who's
tabs
got
on him.
And whether it's just a bit of a story or whether it's actually true, they were saying that when Glasgow were playing the Cheetahs last year, that Tooney went out to South Africa to watch the game.
I read this, yeah.
And one of Carl Steyn's dad's mates went to the match and told Gregor Townsend that he should check out this player that's playing for Griqua because his dad's Scottish and they only play like an hour down the road. And that's how they found out that Kyle Steyn is Scottish.
Yeah.
And then when they went to the Sevens, that's when they wrote
Sevens. Yeah. Who's the guy working for Scott qualified in South Africa? He's dropping the ball.
It's this guy's dad. He's got the gig.
Oh, yeah. He's in. He's now in a contract.
I mean, I would get it if he was like, oh, he's playing for, I don't know, like a small, unknown team. If you're like, he's playing for a great quads, you're like, okay, I'll go and see him.
The thing is, I even think there's two leagues of the Currie Cup and Greek Quad in the top league.
Yeah.
So it's not even like...
Well, yeah, it wasn't exactly like a completely unknown side.
Yeah. And like, Greek Quad would... I don't know.
I mean, how did they get Quagga Van Niekerk? Like...
Yeah.
I mean, they're not looking at his name being like, yeah, he's from Isla.
I think it's just amazing that in like, even now with kind of all how easy it is to contact agents. And Kyle Steyn explicitly said he had an agent at the time.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was unrepresented. The fact that there can even be players playing professional rugby with Scottish parents or grandparents that we don't know about. Because it just feels like it must be so easy.
I wonder if we could crowdsource it. We've got like 5,000 people on Twitter.
Yeah.
Surely we can activate a network. We can get people out there. We should be doing this job ourselves. Let's find the next sort of Scotland international that's playing in the Currie Cup.
I mean, Scotland Rugby have like 200,000 followers, so it'd probably just be easy.
Yeah, but they're not going to use it as nakedly as we are. Yeah, trying to find people. Yeah, yeah. They're never going to do that.
We're like a splinter cell. We can infiltrate.
And we'll only take.
Should we get back to Glasgow anyway?
We could do. On Price and Hastings.
Price looks like he's back.
Price is very good.
Yeah, Price is so good.
I thought Hastings obviously did some like mad things, both good and bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think there was a few moments when he sort of was maybe like crabbing across the pitch, which I don't have a problem with sometimes. And I think maybe like at the start of the season, even a year ago, he might have tried to chuck a stupid pass. But he was being quite sensible, I think, when the occasion demanded it. So I was thinking about today, kind of, if Leinster do bring back Sexton for Burn, which I'm imagining they will, that is where I still think Leinster have quite a big edge, just in terms of the like experience of these big matches and managing those kind of games that isn't, you know, with all due respect, going to be like a Glasgow are going to score 50 points in it, for example, it's going to have to be a bit more. You're going to have to be a bit cuter in how you approach it.
Definitely. Although I don't feel like Hastings is someone who'll be kind of ruffled by the big occasion.
No.
No, I just think it's having that kind of broader skill set to manage a game which of that occasion, which he just doesn't have the experience of doing yet.
Yeah.
I think he still, you know, he still could do it, but
no, definitely.
It takes time and experience.
I generally reckon Sam Johnson probably does get a bit annoyed playing at 12 just because how much Hastings does try and take that outside arc.
Yeah.
And like, obviously it's fine because Sam Johnson can hit the line hard and sort of straighten it up.
Yeah.
But there probably is even still now too many times that Hastings takes it to the line or tries to kind of go around the outside.
Yeah.
His kicking was absolutely baller.
So yeah. Good. It's looking good.
There's just so many nice touches. Similar to Finn, where he just throws a pass and you're like, oh God, that could be terrible. And then it just lands. Like his first one, sort of like
to
the
Seymour.
Weird like end over end lob that he chucked and to Seymour. Thought, and I was like, that is terrible. Oh my God, it's a try. Amazing.
I was really confused on that because it did look quite slow and you kind of thought it would give the cover defense enough time. But actually, Seymour held his depth so well that he was coming onto that at full speed. Yeah. No, I thought he was pretty good.
Would you make any changes to that Glasgow team that went out against Ulster?
No, don't think so.
No injuries, I don't think.
Into the equation.
I don't know whether, potentially from a scrummaging standpoint, you might bring in Keble if you think he's stronger.
Yeah, possibly.
Wilson into that back row?
Doesn't deserve it on form, though.
He's not really played recently.
Yeah. That's
if Wilson's fit and at 100%, you'd expect they might bring him in just for that experience point.
Like
but
Harley,
then again,
Harley's been pretty good towards the tail end of this season as well.
Ryan Wilson's really good at that sort of just late hit on Johnny Sexton.
That's true.
He did an absolute number on Johnny Sexton at Murrayfield for Scotland.
I'd quite like to see him in for
and
that.
Like, he gets in his face and ruffles Sexton's feathers quite a lot.
Yeah.
Nigel Owens, referee.
Yeah.
Pretty happy with that.
Does quite enjoy the breakdown.
Yeah.
I think Pro 14 have learned a lesson. They've got a Welshman, an Irishman, and a Scotsman. Yeah.
Mike Adamson. Shout out to Mike Adamson.
Yeah. Running great to see Mike Adamson. Right in touch. Yeah. They've got a nice suite of different nationalities ref.
I see. I think Devin Turner's been ruled out for Leinster.
Yeah. Yes. I saw that.
Which is pretty good news. And they're still going to bring in a good player, but he's definitely one of their senior guys.
Do you think, you know, as we said, Nigel Owens does like the breakdown. And we do sort of have a back row. I think Ferguson and Gibbons can jackal, but as we're saying, it's not their strength.
Yeah.
And potentially with them having Van der Fleer back.
Van der Fleer, yeah.
Is that something that potentially Leinster could get the upper hand over us?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall that Leinster pack is extremely strong. And, you know, They might get the edge just through their overall strength in the pack rather than maybe just Van der Fleer. But yeah, I do share your concern slightly. But I think, you know, if Glasgow can get that parity up front, and, you know, Rennie came out today and said, you know, in preparation for the weekend, they're not really going to change anything. They're not going to change how they play, which I think is actually pretty sensible.
Like, yeah.
I think they've got their playing a certain brand of rugby. And it's almost the worst thing you can do is for a final completely change the way you play. And I think he was at the same time telling the players, don't go into your shell. Like, take the game to this Leinster side.
Yeah.
How big do you think their win at the RDS a few weeks ago is just for that mentality of the Glasgow group?
It's pretty slightly different team, though.
So different, I think.
I mean,
it's completely different stakes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that will play actually on either team's minds. Really.
I think first 40 minutes, they got to keep at the same level as they did against Saracens at home, first game of the season.
Yeah.
It's like front five, like Furlong, Cronin.
Yeah, Healy.
Healy.
Yeah,
Ryan.
James Ryan. And then Toner's replacement, whoever that is.
I mean, they could just put Fardy up in the row.
Fardy in the row.
And then bring like O'Brien, Cronin and Van der Fleer.
And Reece Ruddock.
Yeah. Oh my God.
it's going to be, you know, I actually don't think Leinster, in a lot of the games this year anyway, have had that much in the back line.
No, and Sexton's not been playing that well.
But they can just grind you down.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Saracens have been the only team that have been able to match it, and
they
match it more.
Yeah.
It's just whether
it's gonna be tough.
That pack. I don't want us I think if we fall even more than 3 points behind, I don't think we can chase this
start
game.
Chasing things.
Yeah.
It's... I can envision a world where we come out quick and then almost just hold on for dear life.
Yeah, try and get,
yeah, I could see that.
Try and get 10 points ahead and just shut up shop.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know how long you can shut up shop for it, though.
Yeah, I know.
it's incredible.
I think if it is that kind of game, you need someone like Hogg or Seymour or like Price or Hastings to do something,
yeah,
you know, insane. But
I suppose Glasgow
doesn't often happen like against Leinster and
yeah
finals that often.
You look at the centres, and I think a year ago, if you put Henshaw and Ringrose versus Johnson and Steyn, you'd be like, oh my God,
yeah,
this is such a differential.
I'm and never, on paper, I'm always like Henshaw and Ringrose. I'm like, I don't think that. And then I watch them and I'm like, yeah, they actually are really effective as a pairing. But I think like the way Johnson in particular has been playing recently, like back end of that Six Nations, he was almost like the 4-12.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I don't think he'll be... played well against Ulster.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be worried about those two.
No, I don't. That's what I'm saying. I actually don't think there's that big a gap between.
Mm.
I actually still think Carl Steyn will go a little bit under the radar because I generally don't think outside of Scotland really anyone knows who he is.
Yeah, it's not that much.
I mean, Scotland didn't even know who he was. So
that is true. So the old man's mate.
The old man's mate.
Like, I hope he just had like a couple
he's
of
like
beers.
He's like 10 pints deep. Yeah. It's like, Gregor. It's like, go away.
Well, decent. Well, we'll come back and do predictions in a wee bit. But Alan, you're going to give us a bit of an ad break from one of our sponsors. Why not?
Yes. So fanbaseclub.com, which has been launched by friend of the pod, Ali Crawley, who also sort of runs the Steve Sims Cavaliers charity, has created this a SaaS platform for sort of amateur, semi-pro, and sort of lower kind of professional sports clubs. And basically, it's a fan management platform to help kind of manage ticketing, manage sort of retail, manage memberships, trying to help clubs essentially monetize their fan base and have a more sort of efficient relationship with their fans. So at the moment, they're sort of looking for clubs to come on board as testers, absolutely no upfront costs. All they do is they take a 5% transaction fee. So they only make money if you're making money off the platform. So if you're interested, if you work on the admin side of a club, fanbaseclub.com/thistle, get involved, see what you think.
All right, fanbaseclub.com.
Yeah, is
that right? Yeah, I think that made sense. I'm sure Ali will be happy with that.
Yeah.
Fanbaseclub.com.
I thought it was good, mate. I think you've got yourself a little sales and marketing gig.
Am I taking over the Beer 52 job?
You can do the Beer 52 job. I was thinking you just...
I don't want the Beer 52 job.
Just a general voiceover artist.
Yeah.
It's definitely a new string to your bow. And as we said at the top, Alan, too busy to do work today. Matt basically had a day off. He's got a quiz. So I'm going to lose against Alan this week for an interesting mix-up for the quiz fans. But over to Matt.
Yes, I feel like I did do quite a lot of research into this, so if there's any mistakes, then, you know, I'll be quite disappointed.
But,
so, this is, as said, a kind of Glasgow in the final themed quiz.
Yeah.
So, first question, Glasgow have been in two finals in the sort of Pro 12, Pro 14 era, not including this weekend. Who did they play and what was the score in each of them?
Ooh.
And we'll just do answers as we go along.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, what have you got, Alan?
So I've got Leinster and Munster.
Yeah.
I also had Leinster and Munster, just so we know.
Okay.
I'm going to say that we beat Munster 27-13.
Okay. Dave, what are you saying for Munster?
Oh, for the win in Munster?
Yeah.
I can't really remember. 22-12 or something like that.
So it's 31-13. So I'm going to give Alan the point for that one. And the other one, Leinster.
I think Leinster beat them quite comfortably in the end. 32-10.
What have you got?
My favourite Nokia model.
I've gone for 25-9.
I'm going to give it to Dave there. It was 34-12.
Ah.
There you go.
I haven't actually done the math on that. You might actually be closer.
No, no. I think he's got it.
I'll take one all. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, so...
3-3 Take the points for Leinster and Munster.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
3-3
Fine. Be like that.
So, who were the point scorers in 2014 for Glasgow?
Is that the first one?
Yeah, and then the point scorers in 2015 as well. 34-12 to in that one and 31-13 in the Munster one.
So we're talking, sorry, we're talking...
Could you give me all the point scorers in 2014 and all the point scorers in 2015?
Are you going to tell us how many point scorers there are?
I feel like I'll give you how many there were in 2015.
Okay.
There were five in 2015.
Five in 2015.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you want to try your luck on the Leinster one?
Is that assuming there's one?
I couldn't possibly say.
I'm going to go with... Do you want to go first?
Kicks by Finn Russell.
Okay. What are you going for?
Kicks by Duncan Ware.
It was all four penalties from Finn Russell.
Oh, I was going to say.
I think, to be fair, that's... Yeah, it was 2014. It could have been Finn Russell still not quite in there, but...
Yeah.
He got four penalties. And then 2015... What have you got? I was going to say there were four separate try scorers.
Four try scorers?
Yeah, it's going to be a wee clue.
So, DTH.
And I've got five scorers in total.
DTH.
Yep. Dave, you go for one.
The two I had written down were DTH and Finn Russell.
Okay.
So, I got DTH, Russell, Purgos, Rob Harley, and Dunkey Ware.
I'm going to give Alan the points there because he got all five in the end.
He got all five. I mean, Weir, of course you're giving him the points there.
Weir came on and got a sole penalty.
Yeah, I know. As I was thinking. So yeah, Russell got the fourth try, didn't he?
No, Russell. Yeah, sorry, Russell got the fourth try. Yeah. So it went...
very good.
Yeah. How many from the 2014 final are still in the current Glasgow squad? Okay. What, have you got that?
No, I'm just... All right.
And see how many you can name.
All right. I was just going to have a punt.
You can have a punt as well.
Yeah.
Punts are encouraged.
Punts are always encouraged. Okay.
Is how many the first question? And then.
Yeah. And then we'll do a kind of 1-2 for how many people you can get.
So in the starting 23.
From the 2014 final, who are in the current Glasgow wider training squad.
Yeah.
I mean, at the moment.
Yeah.
So give us a number to kick things off.
I've gone with 7.
Dave?
I've written down 6 names, but that's... I'll go for 9.
Well, I both give you a point because it was 8.
very good.
And can you name them?
Do you want me to go first? Do you want to go first?
Should we go turnabout?
Turnabout, yeah.
Hog?
Nope.
There you go.
What? Oh.
He got dropped, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, it was when he was trying to force the move, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You bastard.
You really made me panic there. I was like, I've missed out Stuart Hogg.
I was like, what? No. Rob Harley?
Yep, that's one.
Harley, Pete Horn.
Yep.
Johnny Gray.
Yep.
Tommy Seymour.
Yep.
Ryan Wilson.
Nope.
No.
DTH.
Nope. Missing
Fraser Brown.
Fraser Brown.
Nope.
Chris Fassaro.
Yep.
Oh, nice.
How many have we got left?
3 left.
Who are the 3 ultras? Left.
Tim Swinson.
Oh, good show. That's very nice. He was an unused sub. Loves a gin.
Rue Jackson.
Yep.
Nico Matawalo.
Yep.
Very nice. Oh, he's done very well.
Giving you
well.
The points there.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Dunbar was in there, but I wasn't sure if Dunbar... was a loan deal to Newcastle, or if he's signed for...
Well, he's not. He's
Philly.
No longer... He's leaving
he's
the club.
He's not in the squad, is he?
He's gone, yeah.
Okay, so, Alan. you're ahead, I think, but I don't know what the points are. I'm not keeping score.
Winning. It's a well-spirited contest.
Then what was the other final, what was the starting backline in 2015? You've already mentioned a couple of names.
I think I can knock it all.
So okay.
I'm going to let
you name
a
few, I think.
Okay.
Do you want to go?
Go from 15. Pete Murchie was at 15.
Like, you're already out of the game.
That was 24.
Is that sorry,
I'm getting... It said 2015.
Oh, so no, 2015.
2015, yeah. Okay, you can start again if you want.
Huh?
You can start again if you want. From 15.
Hog.
Yeah.
DTH.
Yeah.
Richie Vernon was at 13.
Nice.
Pete Horn at 12.
Nice.
Finn Russell at 10, presumably.
Yep.
You get this.
On the other wing, Tommy Seymour.
Yes. And only got the 9.
At 9, Pergos.
Hey, ah. Nice, mate.
That is exactly what I said.
I watched Scottish rugby, so...
Clearly.
I'm not as useless
nice.
As it
might be. And this one, which I did take a lot of pleasure in researching. In the current Warriors squad, how many players have won like a first-grade title with another side? So when you give me the number...
So what are we talking about? European, Southern Hemisphere, anything that's going?
Yep.
Down to what level?
Let's say...
Well, like an ITM Cup or something like that. Does that count?
Yeah.
Okay.
So...
Just do a number and then we'll try and see how many you know.
14.
Okay, what are you going for?
10.
Okay, well, it's only 6. So.
Outside of Scotland? Outside of...
Yeah,
Oh, I thought you meant in total.
No, yeah. Outside of Scotland.
Okay, fine.
That's fine. So Nuke for the Highlanders?
Nope. He wasn't there in time.
Was he
not? Joined the year afterwards and then they gave away their title.
Petrus Dupsy for Saracens?
Yep, correct.
DTH for Scots?
Correct.
Oh, yeah, good shout.
Some of them are actually like huge.
Hugh Jones Curry Cup with Western
Stormers,
Province.
Yeah.
Yep.
Keble.
He never played.
Wasn't involved.
He never played in the finals when he was there. They played in 2 finals, 1-1, and Hugh Jones was in it.
Nick Frisby wasn't in the red squad when they won.
I'll give you that. He was in the wider squad.
Was he?
He's in the wider squad.
Yeah. I just quite like the fact that he's got a Super Rugby medal.
Mate, gotta take it.
Yeah. There's 2 more. By my reckoning.
Gibbons with the Hurricanes?
Yep, he was on the bench. And they beat the Lions in the final. One more. I didn't actually check ITM Cup, so there might be more, but I don't think there are.
You should have just said no then.
Well, that was the level though, because it's the same level as the Cup.
Oh, right. Oh, of course, yeah.
Brandon Thompson with Western Province?
Nah.
Sam Johnson with Queensland County?
Nah, I wouldn't count that. He wasn't at the Reds when they were sort of a title-winning team.
I'm going to say it because I think it's...
Yeah.
Did Rui Jackson win anything when he was away?
I looked it up and sadly he did not win anything when he was away.
I thought he might have picked up like a Challenge Cup or something like that.
Yeah, it's back 3 though. That's where you want to be looking.
Nico wasn't at Exeter when they won, no.
Nah.
Who else in the back 3?
It's the thing. It is like really rogue. It's
Tag Eve.
Oh, is it the New Zealander guy? What's his name?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Masanga.
Masanga was on the wing in the final when they won the Super Rugby in 2013 against the Brumbies. That is mad.
It's actually really difficult to remember that he's a Glasgow player.
Exactly.
You have to really work hard.
I went through the squad and I was like, he didn't win anything. And I was like, I'll just check. Yeah. So I could be wrong, but I've got 6.
I'm sure we will be wrong.
Yeah.
But it's a good question for the fans to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
This is like one of my other favourite questions. Who is the only... And this is more last year, so I don't know, it might have changed. It's like, who's the only player in the Liverpool squad to have won the Champions League? And I'm going to tell you the answer. The answer is Sturridge, who was on the bench for Chelsea when they beat Bayern Munich.
Good. Are we keeping that bit in or are we cutting that out?
I think that's quite interesting.
General sports fans will be interested by that.
And then I had one other one that was going to be the tiebreaker, but...
Yeah, we'll chuck it in there. It's been good quality so far.
What is the... I mean, I want you to get really specific.
Oh, okay. That's
capacity
not my forte.
Of Celtic Park.
62,500.
Dave?
61,500.
Dave takes that. 60,832.
Is it?
So that's the tiebreaker, which means I win, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how that works.
That's why I showed you answer. So there we go.
Fantastic. Is that your first ever quiz?
I used to do them.
Did you?
Yeah, but then Alan sort of raised the bar, so I spent a good 8 hours on that. So
Very well, well done.
Time sheeted up.
Nice.
I did that Harry Potter quiz and then it was game over.
Yeah, exactly. How can you beat that?
We should bring back the Harry Potter quiz for the 100th.
I've been waiting. I've been saying for the last year and a half I was going to do a Lord of the Rings. I might do a Game of Thrones.
That'd be good.
You do one of those for the we're on what? This is episode 94? Something like that. 94 or 95. So in a few years,
this is 94.
In a few weeks' time, we're going to be Thistle 100. There's going to be all kinds of national celebrations to commemorate that massive moment. Let's finish up then, lads, with your predictions for the game against Leinster. Alan, I'm going to come to you first. Talk me through it.
So, I put a bet on Glasgow to win.
Bet on Glasgow to win. Talk us through the details.
What odds are you getting on that?
Just 7-5.
Just Glasgow to win.
Isn't that long? Just Glasgow to win.
Yeah.
I think at home. I just think genuinely they haven't lost a game in the Pro 14 since January. I don't think Leinster are that good. And I think with the way that Glasgow pack is playing, I think they'll just have enough to sort of manage the Leinster pack. And I think the Glasgow backs will just have enough to outscore Leinster.
Love that positivity.
Glasgow by two.
Glasgow by two. Matt, give me something also to celebrate.
Yeah, I was thinking about my prediction earlier. And, you know, part of me thinks that that Leinster team with Sexton back in the saddle just, you know, is very good at winning big matches. And the only one that they've lost recently really is Saracens in the Champions Cup. But then I was like, no, you know what? I have to believe here. This is in Glasgow, the final.
Yeah.
Glasgow looking good. It's hog send off. I was like, I don't really believe in the stars aligning, but, you know, if there's a moment to believe, this is it. So I think, yeah, Glasgow by one.
Glasgow by one.
Give me that. And it'll be unbelievable. And we'll have to fly up to Glasgow from Norwich Airport.
Well, exactly, yeah. I'm up for that. Yeah. Let's do it. We'll charter a plane.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have one waiting on the runway just in case.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to back Glasgow. Can't leave us on a bum note. I think they're unbelievable against Ulster. They're going to carry it through. I think Leinster are still smarting from losing to the Champions Cup to Saracens. I don't know if they're going to be able to mentally get themselves to the level required to knock Glasgow off their perch in this big at-home occasion. So Glasgow by 6 points. Give me, lads.
I like that.
Glasgow do a parade if they win?
Yeah, I reckon. Just once round Scotstoun, then back in.
Yeah.
I was like, who the hell are these guys?
Just through the streets on a Monday, no one has any idea what's going on.
Down Socky Hall.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Yeah, well,
should be a good weekend.
It should be absolutely class. We're going to be streaming it live at a wedding in Norfolk, 4G permitting. Very exciting. So our coverage on Twitter might be patchier than it usually would be on a big weekend, but we will try and keep up with it as we can. As ever, Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, Instagram Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and get into that mailbag and let us know your thoughts on the final. That's thistlerugby@gmail.com. Come on, Glasgow. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.